If you ever thought about becoming a freelancer but wondered if you could make it, you've come to the right place. This is Freelance Can I Really Make It, the podcast where we talk about the ups and downs of being a self-employed freelancer, entrepreneur, whether you're a photographer like me or a singer, songwriter, poet, artist, clothing designer, whatever the case may be. We discuss all the downs and things that we have to deal with as freelancers, but also the ups, the solutions. Welcome. My name is Ahmed. I'm Creative Roberson. Let's get on with the show.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the show. Today, we're going to be talking about pricing. We're going to be talking about pricing again. If you hear some fan noise in the background, sorry about that, but it's a little warm. Not warm enough to turn the air conditioner on, but warm enough to have a fan on. But anyway, with that being said, let's go ahead and get right to it. Speaking of fans, really quick, if you have fans of your product and you want to advertise your product on my podcast, which is worldwide, reach out to me at ahmed@arobersonphoto.com. That's ahmed@arobersonphoto.com. to discuss your advertising needs and rates. And with that being said, talking about rates, good, fast, and cheap. Have you heard of the good, fast, cheap triangle? I am not very familiar with it, but let me break it down to you really quickly. You have your good, fast, and cheap. If you make like a triangle symbol with your hand or whatever, good, fast, and cheap. Good and cheap. And fast. You can't have all three. Customers are going to have to pick two. Of the two, which are more important to them, they have to decide. But for example, good, fast, and cheap. If the client wants something good and fast, it's not going to be cheap. If the client wants something fast and cheap, it's not going to be as good as you could possibly make it, considering the time constraints. If they want something good and cheap, it's not going to be done fast because you're not going to sacrifice higher paying jobs in order to do something for less money and fast. That is a disservice to you. You're working extra hard for less. My mantra, my goal going forward, I mean, I know I've told you guys that I'm looking to retire, that I'm ready to retire any given day of the week at any moment. I would retire right now. I have a handful of clients that I am more than blessed to have, beyond blessed to have, return clients that love my work, come to me for all their photography and photo editing needs. I am more appreciative than I can possibly explain, and I'm throwing that round of applause in there for them. I am beyond appreciative. However, of all the clients that I have, return clients and whatnot, I do have a cut list, and the cut list is for some clients that I'm not going to be working with anymore, and some clients that are going to remain on the list that I will be glad to continue to work with. And first off, let me say it is not personal by no stretch of the word, not by no stretch of the meaning. It is not personal at all. It's just that some of these clients are, oh man, for lack of a better word, I'll just say kind of picky, and that's not a knock against them. Because you're paying for a service, you want that service to be best. But in my experience, sometimes the pickiness is unrealistic, if I could say that, to the degree that the things that you want changed, which I don't mind doing revisions within reason, the things that you want changed will go completely unnoticed by the undiscerning eye. And even the discerning eye would have to look zoomed in with a loop or something really closely to see if something is not absolutely 100% precise. And again, that's not to say that they shouldn't want anything absolutely precise, but you also have to take into consideration viewing distance. Like if you're putting a product online, most customers are not going to zoom in till it's pixelated in order to see if it's perfect or not. And sometimes I can come across a client that wants that type of perfection. And again, I'm not against their perfection, but I do not have time for, oh man, I don't want to get killed for saying this, but I don't have time for nitpicking when it absolutely will not be noticed. You know, I have other professionals look at my work sometimes and they'll sit there and concentrate on it for a good while and won't even notice what the client may have noticed. And again, that's not to say that the client shouldn't by any means want perfection, but it has to be within reason. But anyway, I digress off that rant, off that tangent. The good, fast, and cheap, you know, sometimes you can get a client that does want that absolute perfection, but they also want it fast and they also want it cheap. You can't have all three. Something has to be sacrificed. And I say sacrifice loosely because you're not going to completely ignore that third element to the good, fast, and cheap triangle. However, you're not going to put as much effort into that third element because they have to pick two of the three. Again, good, fast, and cheap. If they want it good and fast, it's not going to be cheap because you're doing a rush job that incurs an additional fee. They want it done good. Of course, you're here to do it good. That's why they came to you in the first place, because you do good work and they want you to do that good work, but it comes at a premium and they know that coming in, which is why they want to work with you. But again, they do want to save some money. I get it. But you have to understand, you can't want the best and expect the best for less. It just doesn't work that way. You can't. I think I told a story before years back about I was at a local corner store, like a convenience store, all-purpose convenience store. And a lady there, she was buying toothpaste. They had some off-brand toothpaste for $1. And they had some name brand toothpaste for like almost $3. And she's like, why isn't this toothpaste the same price as that toothpaste? And the clerk was trying to explain to her, well, this is the better toothpaste, which is why it costs more. And the lady, the customer, proceeds to say, I want it for this price. How come I can't have the good toothpaste for this toothpaste price? And the clerk was just bewildered. Like, how do you not see that this better toothpaste costs more because it's better? You yourself, the customer, just acknowledged that it's better, but you don't want to pay the better price. It doesn't work that way. You can't have the better stuff for the lesser price. It's like, just say if you like Ferraris, for example, you're not going to get a Ferrari for a Camry price. The Ferrari's great. The Camry's great in some people's eyes, but still they command a different price point. You cannot get a Toyota Camry for the price of a Ferrari. It's just not going to happen that way. So, you know, you have to make sure your customers understand that. And you don't have to be snarky about it or, you know, anything. You don't have to be sarcastic or not. But you have to explain, if you want it done good, it's going to cost. That's why you came to me, because I do good work. You want it done fast. Okay, that means I'm going to have to put a rush job in. But it's not going to be cheap because of the fact that you already know what my premium is, and then you're tacking on fast on top of that. If you want it fast and cheap, it's not likely to be good because now I'm doing a rush job and you're not paying me well. So now I'm working super fast on a project that actually takes more time and more concentration to make it good, but you want it done really fast and you want to save a buck. It is not going to be done that good. That's just the nature of any business. Anything that you do, if you do it fast, it doesn't get the attention required to make it quote unquote perfect. So that's going to be a sacrifice. And then if they want it good and cheap, it's not going to be done fast. You want it done really good, again, which is why you came to me, and you want it done cheap, then why did you come to me? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you've gotten to the point where you've established yourself and established what your price point is, your customer should already know that based on the level of work that you deliver. That's where your price comes from. Your work is so good to where you could command a certain price point. So they should be willing to pay for that. But then you want my work, which is considered good, but you want it done cheap, and then you want it done fast. You can't have that. If you want it done good and cheap, I may be able to cut you a discount depending on, you know, what the cut is. And if I'm willing to work with you on the project, if I actually want to work on that project and am willing to sacrifice a little bit of money to do so, but you're not going to get it done fast because you want good work, but you want it cheap. My motivation is going to be lacking because you've, for lack of a better word, you've lowballed me. You're trying to cut my rate. You know what my work is. You know what my work commands as a fee, but you want that same level of work for less, and then you want it done fast. That is not going to happen. That is not fair to me as an artist. And, you know, I mean, you shouldn't ask that as a client because you know the level of work that you're going to get from me. That you, again, you came to me for a reason. You came to me for a reason because you like my work. Don't come to me because you consider my work to be the best out of whatever prospects that you have, but then want me to work my best for less. You know, my mantra is less work, more money. I do not buy into the theory or the ideology of working until I'm 65, 70, all that. I am 48 years old, and if I could retire today, I would. I'm not joking. I laugh when I say it because it may seem extreme to some, but I am so serious. I would absolutely retire. And when I retire, I say retire loosely because I love the art. I love what I do. And I would still continue to do it. I wouldn't just walk away from it altogether. And that's where, again, my cut list comes in. Some people that made the cut list, they'll stay and I'll continue to work with them for them because I enjoy working with them. And on top of that, they pay my rate and have never asked for a discount. Those are my type of clients, and they get a round of applause again. They get a round of applause again because those are my type of clients. They love my work. They respect my work. They appreciate my work and they pay for my work. They will always be on the top of my list or on the keep side of my cut list. And the people on the cut side, again, they're not bad people and I have no animosity towards them. That's why I've been working with them for years. But when I retire, I'm not going to put myself under that amount of pressure because I won't have to anymore. Right now I have to because I have to earn a living, you know, just like we all do. But when I retire, and I can issue out my cut list statement to certain clients, the clients that I keep, I'll get to work with at my leisure, at my pace, still get paid for it, still get to do the art that I enjoy to, creating and whatnot, but I won't be under duress. I won't be under pressure. And I say duress loosely. Please don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say about my cut list. Those clients are not bad people, none of that. It's just that I'm at the point where I don't want to put forth as much effort. And again, all this is being said loosely because effort is all relative. You know, what may seem easy to me or require a lot of effort to me may be different for you and vice versa. Some things are different for others and all that stuff. And I say it loosely because I'm not sitting here killing myself to do these jobs, but it's just more work than I'm willing to put in at this point. I've been doing this for 18 years, and I know a lot of people have been working longer than that and will be working longer than that. I don't want to. I absolutely do not care to. I do not want to spend the rest of my days working. As far as I know, as far as I've set, and pretty much everything that I put in the air has come true. Knock on wood, you know, knock on this hard head of mine. All that stuff is come true. And one thing I put in the air into the universe is that I'm going to live to be 100, at least 100. That means I have 52 years left. I am not about to spend the remaining 52 years of my life working. I am not going to spend the rest of my life working. I'm going to spend the rest of my 52 years enjoying every bit of life that I can with work as a side gig as opposed to a required gig. You know what I'm saying? That's my goal. But anyway, I'll say one more part to this, the good, fast, and cheap triangle part. That is also something that is imperative to share with friends. When you're working with friends, it can be very difficult working with friends. And I'm getting this, I'm sharing this with you because I just watched an episode of Tested with Adam Savage from Mythbusters. So I don't want to make it seem like I'm taking the credit for this. I got the idea to talk about this in this episode after watching an episode of his episode of Tested. And that's where I got the good, fast, cheap triangle part. And that's where I am now. That's where I have now come up with working with friends part, because I got this from watching his episode. So this is not mine to take credit for. I just want to put that out there. I'm not trying to steal the credit for somebody else's work or somebody else's episode and information. I'm just sharing it, but I wanted to let you know where it came from so you don't think that I'm sitting there trying to steal it and all that stuff. But anyway, I was watching an episode of Tested with Adam Savage, and he was talking about somebody wrote in a question to him, and he answered, talking about how hairy, how trippy, how difficult it can be working with friends. And he suggested the good, fast, and cheap triangle when working with friends. What I'll say about that is you definitely want to explain the good, fast, and cheap triangle. He said, you know, the best advice is to be honest. Let your friends know, like, this is going to take me a long time. And if you want me to do this for you for free or cheap, that means you're taking away from me making a living on another project that's not going to ask me to be cheap or fast. You know what I mean? So you have to be honest with your friends. Like, your friends want me to do a job. And, you know, they say working with friends can be bad and all that and family. I totally disagree. It's up to you. It's up to you to decide, you know, but I don't think it inherently is a bad thing. Like, I work with family all the time and I have no issues whatsoever doing photos for my family for free. Not a single issue. But my family also doesn't abuse the fact that I'm a photographer. And if I tell my family that I'm busy on a project and I can't do anything for them for free right now, they completely understand. They don't put any pressure on me. So we have that type of relationship. You know, I come from a great family, you know. Round of applause for my family and friends, family and friends. They're all great. And if they need something done from me for free, they respect my time and they respect my position. If I tell them that I can't, they don't say, oh man, come on, just do it for me real quick. You know, they don't do that. And I appreciate and respect that so much. But because of that, that's why I work with them and do freebies for them when I have the time to do so. So you have to be sure to explain that to your family and friends. You know, it could be the good, fast and cheap, or if not even the good, fast and cheap triangle, explaining like the time constraints and stuff like that. Honesty is the best thing that you could tell them. Look, man, you know, I do this for a living. Sometimes people don't consider photography or freelancing or working for yourself as a quote unquote real job. And that's just because they have no clue. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's nothing against them. They just don't know. They just don't know because they're used to working a 9-to-5. You go to work all day, you come home, and then you got free time. We don't have free time as freelancers. They may not see us in a cubicle, but they don't see us behind the scenes doing all this work. They may see us advertising on social media like, oh, man, you had time to make that video. It literally takes me less than a minute to make an advertising video when I promote this podcast or anything that I do. It literally takes me less than a minute. And when I'm done, I turn off that happy face and then I get back to work. Not to say that my work is full of sad faces, you know, but I do smile for the camera, say my piece, and then I get back to it. And a lot of people don't understand that sometimes. So they think, oh, you freelance, you work from home, you're just sitting back watching TV and chilling and just money's coming in. Man, they have no clue how hard this is. It is extremely difficult, but you have to be built for it. Some people are built for it. Some people are not. I am no longer built for the 9-to-5 world. Or if I am, it'll have to be on my terms. And, you know, that can be a hard pitch. That can be a hard sell of yourself to be able to work with the stability, if you will, the consistency of a 9-to-5, but have the freedom of a freelancer. That can be a hard sell, but if you're very good at what you do, you can actually get away with that. I do some semi-consistent work as a freelance vendor for some big companies, but it's not consistent, but still, they come to me with a project. I tell them I'm gonna need this much time to get it done. They say, okay. They set up the contract. They pay me. I get it done and I deliver it when I said I'm going to get it done, if not sooner. That's what keeps my relationship good with them. But they understand because they're in that world, you know, dealing with clients that are not in that world and they're strictly in the 9-to-5 world. They may not understand the liberties that we may get as freelancers, but still, it is not all sweet. It's not like I'm sitting there back chilling and, okay, I'm finished partying now. Let me go ahead and get this work done. No, the work comes first. The party comes later. And again, the little clips of partying that you may see on social media is just that. It's just a little clip. I smile for the camera real quick. As soon as the camera is turned off, I'm back to it. Back to it. So please don't let a short 1 minute clip make you think that I have the good life. And even if I did, that good life and that free time doesn't become your free time. But see, my friends and my family understand that. And again, they don't abuse it. You know, years ago, when I was heavy into car audio, I'm into car audio now. If you want to check out my YouTube channel, it's called I Still Love Car Audio and Car Audio Tech Stuff. I would appreciate your subscription and follow. Even if you don't like car audio or you know somebody who may, please direct them to my channel. But I digress. When I used to do car audio competitively, 20 something years ago, 25, 26 years ago, I used to build boxes for my whole team, had a car club and all that stuff. And one of my boys, still my boy to this day, but, you know, he didn't understand, and I'm not mad at him for that at all. We were all young, and, you know, it was a learning process, part of the game, right? Anyway, I was building boxes for everybody, and he wanted me to build him a box because my boxes were better than the prefab store-bought built boxes, and he was like, yo, man, build me a box. I'm like, all right, man, I'll build you a box. The wood costs this much. The wood glue costs this much. The nails cost this much, and I want X amount of dollars to build it. And he was like, oh, man, if you was my friend, you wouldn't charge me to build it. You'd just build it for me. And I countered with, if you were my friend, you wouldn't have me out here working for free. And he paused. He was like, oh, are you right? We shook hands. He paid me for it. And it was all done. Simple as that. But he understood. He understood. And I had to educate my friend. Just like, again, from the Adam Savage Tested episode I watched. He said, be honest. Be honest with your friends and family and let them know that this is taking your time. You know, he sees me out there building boxes for myself all the time. I'm building them for myself with my time to do it for myself. My free time doesn't become your free time. As soon as I'm using my free time to do work for you, it's no longer free time. It's paid time. Now I'm on the clock. Now I'm working. My what was supposed to be my day off is now become a work day because I'm doing work for you for free or doing work for you. I'm not going to do that for free. I'm not going to sacrifice my leisure time, my day off to build a box for myself and do whatever I like to do for myself to do for you for free. No, because now it's taking the joy out of it and it's becoming work. I'm not saying that the work is misery, but it's different. It's different when you're doing something for yourself. You have some fun with it. You take your time. You do it how you see fit. If you mess up, no big deal. I messed up and we just start over. When you're doing something for somebody else, all those change. They flip flop. Now you're on the clock. Now you have to be precise. It's a lot more pressure on there. If you mess up, you have to start over. That's a cost to you. So when you educate your friends, be honest with them. You let them know, hey, man, this take time. This take money. If I mess up, are you going to pay for me to redo the box? No. I have to eat that. So therefore, if I'm putting up, if I'm taking all the risks, it's going to cost. I'm not going to take all the risks. You're taking the risk by paying me, but by you paying me and you know what I'm capable of, it's not really a risk to you, but you're ensuring quality work, you know, part of the game. And another part of the game is being nice, pay it forward, be nice to somebody, smile. You don't have to flirt unless you want to. If you like them, go ahead and flirt. If not, say hi. Some people are going through a lot of stuff right now and you simply saying hi to them can make them feel like they're not alone. Again, you don't have to sit there and have a conversation with them. You don't have to talk. You can be just passing by. You look up and say hello to somebody. That could be somebody who people ignore all the time and never say hello or anything to. And then you simply smiled and said, hey, how you doing? Hello. You could change somebody's day. If I helped you with any information in this podcast, the least that I'm asking you to do, aside from checking out my channel and advertising your business on this podcast, is the least you can do. The least you can do is as a thank you to me, it's just smile at somebody, pay it forward, man. You know, if I'm sharing this information with you, share your good mood and your smile with somebody else. And until next time, I am out of here. Thanks for listening, y'all.